This is the quote of the day. So learning about these basics makes me think about this quote by Peter Lynch, famous investor, which is, know what you own and why you own it. Welcome to the Path to Passive podcast, where we talk about building wealth and empowering lifestyle through commercial real estate investing for tech professionals. I always wish that other tech professionals reaching financial freedom had documented their journey along the way, so I'm doing it for the rest of us. Join as we explore stories, many failures, and lessons learned along the way. I hope you enjoy and subscribe. Hello, hope you're having another great day today, and welcome to another episode of Path to Passive. This is real estate investing for tech professionals. This is the guide for tech professionals that want to invest in real estate and get the maximum leverage with their capital to earn income, save on taxes, and build generational wealth. My name is Stephen Rita, and I am your host. Each week, I come to you from Austin, Texas, to talk about all things related to real estate investing and how you can build your flows of income as a real estate investor. Each episode, we're bringing you real estate investing lessons and conversations with real estate leaders, real estate entrepreneurs, and myself, who can help provide the tools to start successfully investing and building passive income. So let's get into the show today. Today's topic is multifamily asset classes. So as we dive in today, I want to provide some questions and a frame around it as we get into the episode. And so the question is, have you ever looked at apartments for rent for yourself or helping someone else out and started doing some comparisons on them? Do they have similar amenities? How do they look? How modern are they? Is one a little older than the other, or is one a little more beat up than the other? These are some of the evaluations that we're going to get into. And so it's very much the same thing when you're looking to invest. You're just now on the investor side, when before you were on the consumer or tenant side. Today, we're going to take a look behind the scenes on what these classes of multifamily real estate are and why you should know these when it comes to investing, especially if you're still building your investing criteria right now. So in this episode, we're going to cover why do these asset classes even matter? From that investing perspective, what are the four different types of multifamily real estate? We're going to do a quick comparison of these different classes, and then I will talk about which of these classes I'm a big fan of and why. So why do we even care about these classes? In a previous episode, we talked about different types of commercial properties, from apartments to hotels, retail centers, warehouses, and a bunch of different properties that you can invest in. The purpose was to introduce you to these different types of properties so you could become aware of what they were, what they have to offer, and start thinking about what you might want to invest in as well. We've covered a few attributes of each of these classes that I briefly touched on, and these attributes were meant to help you understand and expect from each of these classes, especially when it comes to building and understanding business plans, how these properties made money, what you could do to that asset to raise property value or increase the revenue and returns over time. Also, at the end of the last episode, I described what I'm currently invested in, which is multifamily, and why. And some of those reasons, just to bring it back here right now, is because of the economies of scale, the demand for rentals that continue to rise in the US, the risk is spread out across all of the units in the apartment, and professional property management. So if you haven't listened to that last episode and you want to learn about what the actual definition of commercial real estate is, the definition of the attributes, the eight different property types that I covered in the last episode, I recommend going back for a listen. You can even skip to the property type that would be of most interest to you. All right. So in setting the foundation of what we're going to cover, today we're going to deep dive into multifamily asset classes. And so I wanted to talk about some additional reasons why, properties and challenges that you have to work through on this journey, and help to set a frame before we get into the asset classes. The first one is differentiating between the different asset classes of multifamily. And so there are all these different types of apartments that are around us, right? We have, like I had talked about in last episode, garden style, mid-rise, and high-rise. And some are going to be newer, older, they're going to come with different amenities. But in general, unless we have ways to categorize, they're going to look all very similar. So we need to be able to categorize them in these different classes so that we can understand what to expect amongst them. The second point is that there's a lot of different types of properties, right? And so because we only have a finite amount of time and energy to spend our time on, it's important that we dive into these classes to understand what is going to be the best thing for us, right? Again, we're looking at building our own investing criteria. And so we want to align on what we think is going to be suited for how we want to build our portfolios. And we're going to continue to get in that in future episodes too. The third point here is that if you are going to invest in multifamily, then knowing these asset classes will help you align the strategy on what needs to be done to each of these properties as well. Like I talked about, understanding the business models and strategies is the next step that we're going to talk about. So typically you're going to have in your criteria, you're going to have a market or geographic location, right? A city, for example. You're going to have a type of asset, and then you're going to have a strategy that is the model for that asset. So let's get into the meat of it, right? Now that you're clear about what you why you must know, we get into the exciting part about covering the different classes themselves. And so the different asset classes are actually A, B, C, and D. I know, super complicated, but let's get into it. So determining the class falls under a few different criteria. And you can think about this in two different buckets, such as physical and financial. Some of these attributes we need to consider are the location of the property, the age of the property, condition of the property, including how it's managed, deferred maintenance, which we'll talk about here shortly, income levels of the residents, appreciation value of the property, and as well as crime rates of the property and area as well. And so the first asset class here is Class A. These are the top tier and luxury class apartments, typically are recently built, located in the most desirable neighborhoods and nearby top rated schools too. They're really close to city centers or nearby more metro areas and closer to popular locations. Inside the apartment buildings, you're going to see things like hardwood floors, granite countertops, modern fixtures, and stainless steel appliances. The theme here is modern. These are usually have better amenities too. And you can think about things such as a full-service gym, resort-style pool, clubhouse, rooftop patios, dog parks, picnic areas, or anything that you can imagine that is around modern conveniences. Also, think about the people that choose to live here. They can afford to be there and pay those higher rents, and they will also have higher expectations. So as a result, the management company needs to be providing a higher service to cater to these people too. Then we have what's called deferred maintenance. So deferred maintenance is exactly what it sounds like. It is deferred maintenance or things that would have to get done. And because these buildings are so new and modern, they're going to have very little deferred maintenance versus something like an older building as an example. So because they're newer and they're A-class, they're going to have very little to no deferred maintenance because they're so new. So the second class we have is B, following line and order of the alphabet. And so they offer a lot of nice benefits and make a lot of financial sense for a large demographic of the population. Now, these are still pretty nice, so they're not falling apart. And they still are in nice neighborhoods and maybe around the corner from somewhere like a Starbucks as an example. These do have nice finishes inside too. Tend to have that hardwood floor or hardware floor lookalike, and still nicer appliances, solid surface countertops, and nice cabinetry. On an age perspective, they will be a little older. So you're now pushing to about within the last 20 to 30 years old. And from a deferred maintenance perspective, they will have some deferred maintenance because they have aged and they've got some normal wear and tear on them. They have upgrades to be made, repairs and replacements. And these might have been put on hold from a new property that continues to age over time. From an amenities perspective, amenities will vary. Some B class may have very similar to what you're going to find in A class, like still having a pool, nicer gym, and maybe even a small clubhouse or community area. The tenant class may still be professional workers and start to be working class tenant profile versus a much higher income earners like you would see in the Class A properties. Now, moving on to Class C. So since we are on alphabet and a grading system here, we went from A and B, now we're at C. So I also want to take the time to mention here that from the grading perspective, we have A, B, C, and D class. These are the four different classes. So we are not going to talk about anything E and F because they do not exist. So again, the C classes are somewhere in the middle, three out of four, if you will, A, B, C, and D. So anyway, these properties tend to be more of a in developing neighborhood or less desirable type of location. And typically on age, they're going to be pushing 30 plus years old and in fair to poor condition, usually not as amenities. If there are some, they're going to be a bit more dated and have gone through upgrades to look a bit more modernized. There might be some grills in the yard. There might be a gym, but again, they're going to have dated equipment, but typically that's about it. Now, as we talk about deferred maintenance, you're going to have things like older roofs, peeling paint, and maybe some more dings on the doors and walls that are going to be a lot more noticeable. Inside, they're going to have more dated kitchens and bathrooms, and maybe even have laminate flooring compared to the hardwood flooring or hardwood look-like flooring in the A and B class properties. You might even have a more vintage type of appliances in the C class apartments. Now, also from a tenant-based perspective, you have to think about it being in a more of a working class type of neighborhood. And finally here, we have D class. D is actually the bottom of that grading scale, just like I said. These properties are definitely going to be 30 plus years old and in less desirable areas, and likely to be an area with a lot more crime there too. Materials are going to be built from a medium to poor quality of construction and significantly worn down by tenant turnover and how many people who have moved in and out over the years. And from a deferred maintenance perspective, you can imagine there's going to be a lot more of deferred maintenance. So tons of upgrades will need to be done, a lot of work to get this property in condition. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the opportunities with the D class as we go into the pros and cons. But again, just moving on from an overview here, the management of the property is definitely going to be a huge factor too. The level of management might be pretty poor and not actually know what's going on with that property, leading to massive mismanagement. Sometimes these property management systems will be extremely out of date, and tenants might even be paying cash versus electronic, potentially on a month-to-month basis. So that was a quick overview of each of the four different types of multifamily assets. Let's go into a quick analysis of the pros and cons. So if we go into A-class pros and cons, remember we mentioned that these are the best-looking buildings in the best neighborhoods. From a pros perspective, they're going to have the highest earning potential. They're able to demand the most rent. They're going to be pretty well managed and maintained. Again, they're very new, so there can be a lot more focus on providing service right away. Tenants will typically stay longer. Again, we talk about type of tenant, and there's going to be type potential for appreciation because of the amount of rent that the property can demand. Now, from a cons perspective, there's a higher upfront investment. Again, I'm talking about acquisition of an A-class property. It's going to be newer. It's going to be brand new. And so, or relatively new. And so investing in these require a higher initial investment. The time to see on return on investment might take a little bit longer as an example. It's a bit out of scope on the reasons why for this episode, but just know that it might take a little bit longer. If there is anything done, it might be need to be done on the property. There might be higher maintenance costs. There might be a greater risk for vacancy if there are market downturns, as tenants might want to spend less money on rent and go somewhere else. So these are the newer buildings that have stable tenants typically, but you're going to spend more to get into them. And if there are market downturns, you might lose tenants that go on the cheaper rents. Now, moving on to B pros and cons, let's talk about some of the pros here. Now, from an acquisition cost or purchasing cost, these are reasonable costs. The upfront cost is not as prohibitive such as the A class. It's going to be slightly lower. You're going to have a steady income as well. The typical tenant base is middle income families as their residents, and they'll provide a steady tenant base, right? There would be a lot of middle income families across the US, and that's why you're always having need to fill a B-class property. Tenants take care of the property themselves more often. So because of that, and having a pride in taking care of the property, there's a good expectation of maintaining and taking care of it. And so there might not be as much repairs and maintenance on your part as an investor owner. Now, moving on to that cons perspective of the B class, there will be some increased deferred maintenance. Again, it is a bit older. And so compared to the A class requiring these properties, there still will be deferred maintenance that needs to be taken care of. Think about possibly needing a new roof, having an HVAC, HVAC, and interior upgrades as well to bring it a bit more modernized. And it's possible that they might not be the most well-managed either, right? When we think of well-managed, we need to think about it that just like a business could be managed better, think of it around the operations. And that's what I mean by management. It means the people running it, the systems involved, and the processes used for those systems. Think of things like missing rung books and how to do things, outdated computer systems that make it difficult for the staff to do their job, and maybe they have to do things outside of the system. So even though this might be a con that we're looking at, these cons become opportunities to improve when we buy these properties, and part of a business plan to improve these to increase the operations, serve the tenants and customers better, and raise the overall profitability and value of the apartment building. Now, from a C-class perspective, thinking about the pros here, because they're a little bit older, we even have a lower barrier to entry on acquisition because it's going to be lower priced. That is compared to an A and B class property, A being the newest, demanding the most, the highest price, B being a little bit less and not as high of a price, as an example. And so there are big populations of working class, and these properties serve groups of people in the market. So that becomes a pro because it fills a need around the market. Now, from a cons perspective, again, one of the biggest things here is deferred maintenance. There'll be a lot of things that will need to be upgraded and replaced right away. You know, these are the first things that need to be addressed, replaced, and might even break down while taking over ownership of that property itself. Now, from a management perspective, remember how we talked about the operations of a business? C-class property management might be very much like a mom and pop style, and things that are done manually, maybe outdated systems even more, and processes that are breaking down. And so you have to put more governance in place, as an example. And finally, on the cons here, we're talking higher tenant turnover, as they might be moving from one location to another a lot more frequently. And so that means that higher tenant turnover. So although not as new as B-class properties, there's still a lot of value add opportunity on them. Typically, that translates to taking care of the deferred maintenance and more attention to the overall management. And so finally here, we're at the D-class properties from a pros and cons. Again, this is a very quick analysis of these. And so from a pros perspective, this is going to be the lowest acquisition cost, right? So there's a huge opportunity with D-class properties to pick these up, and you could do a turnaround. But also these properties is an opportunity to redevelop that piece of land too. Now, these properties from a cons perspective, again, we're talking about one of the biggest considerations here is crime rate. Because of where the property is, there's likely to be a lot of crime in the property and around it. Police will likely be used to going to this property too, because there might be a lot of calls that come in. And so the cons here is that you have to do a complete turnaround on management, a complete turnaround on the entire property. And that definitely starts with the operations. Tons of deferred maintenance and frequent repairs too. And there would definitely be a lot of turnaround on tenants and lots of issues as well. So while these properties may come cheaper to start, you need to be prepared for the amount of labor and attention that it would be to take this property and turn it around. Be a lot of headaches involved to make this property better. And that's if you can turn around at all because of the surrounding area. If something to consider here is that you might have a D-class property where you're trying to improve it, but if the surrounding neighborhood is bad, then you're going to be really trying to do things uphill. So just a consideration there. All right. So let's do a quick recap. Today we covered a lot, right? We learned about the different property types, different multifamily asset classes, that we classify these, the first couple letters of the alphabet, the A, B, C, and D. We learned about what some of the criteria are around these asset classes, about location, age, income levels, tenant base, appreciation opportunity, and crime. We went through each of these asset classes one at a time and a quick overview of the pros and cons. So with that, congratulations. You now know more about these asset classes than a lot of people out there, especially if you listened to the last episode about the different types of commercial real estate and the definition. Brings me to something that I think about, and this is the quote of the day. So learning about these basics makes me think about this quote by Peter Lynch, famous investor, which is, know what you own and why you own it. Know what you own and why you own it. And so we went through each of these different classes. We understand more about them and the pros and cons from an investing perspective and what we can expect from them. And I want to get to the action. I want to get to the action here. And so I'll keep stacking. And so from an action perspective, as we close out today's episode and think about what we're going to do, I really want you to really start to see what's around you, right? Consciousness brings more consciousness, and you need to make more distinctions and go down a layer of depth. And that's why we're looking at these different asset classes. So ask yourself, you know, what type of multifamily apartments are you surrounded by? What might you have you lived in the past? Was it class A, B, or maybe even class C? What were some of the amenities that you've seen? How did you make the decision to choose one place over another for yourself? And this way that you can start to see what it's like as an investor, not just as a tenant and living somewhere to go to rent, as an example. We get to start to put ourselves in the frame of mind of, what are the people that we get to serve? What are they going to look for? And so that will help us to think about how we can better serve them, not just all of the strategy and tactics on, you know, being an investor, taking over property and improving overall operations, et cetera, but how do we get to serve the tenants and the customers, really our customers and the people that live there? How do we get to make their lives better as well? How do we get do good for that community? Anyway, wrapping up, I want to mention that here in the next episode, we're going to be talking about real estate strategies. Continuing on this real estate journey, we're going to be talking about things such as, how do real estate owners manage such big properties, right? What are some of the strategies that are commonly used? What goals or types of plans do they have to think about, and where do they begin? And how do they know where to focus their energy? And as we keep going, we're going to start to address that question about returns and why are these things actually worth it? What can we expect to get back in returns from each of these different strategies on these properties? So if this helped you, please share and let me know what you enjoyed. Or if you have questions about today's episode, please reach out. I would love to hear your feedback, discuss any of the topics covered today with you, and be of service however I can. You can reach out to me on Instagram at TheRealArita or email me at Steven@aritacapital.com. Also, if you have topics that you would love to hear about, please let me know. I may not be able to get back to you immediately, but I will read your messages and maybe even create an episode just for you and credit you with that question. So that's all I have for today. Thank you so much, and I will see you next time. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Path to Passive. We love connecting with our listeners and those on the path to architecting their wealth and improving their lives. Feel free to let us know what topics you'd like to see in future episodes. Get in touch with us through email or Instagram. See you next week for a new episode.